Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا الله
group. This is Hot Dog Media presents Glad Tidings Season 2, Episode 8, Characteristics of a Muslim. In this episode, we'll cover the characteristics that every Muslim should have. These are characteristics that, if implemented, will make any Muslim a better Muslim. Like anything you do, you're not supposed to have all of them right away, but you should strive and work hard to incorporate all of them into your life. One side note before we get going, for anybody that's a practicing Muslim or soon to be Muslim, you know, I heard somebody say it. I'm going to take it from them. I can't give them credit, but whoever it is, may Allah bless them. And they said that the two types of people that they meet practicing Muslims and soon to be Muslims are potential Muslims. There's practicing Muslims and potential Muslims. But this is for anybody who's practicing or any potential Muslims. When you ask a question, ask anybody a question, a sheikh, an imam, just a brother at the masjid, a sister at the masjid, whoever you ask, somebody online, if that's what you choose to do, which is kind of scary and which is a sketchy situation. But you should ask them, whenever they give you the answer they give you, brother or sister, or whoever, sheikh, imam, sir, ma'am, did you get this from the Quran or Sunnah? Sunnah meaning the ways and actions of the Prophet. Did you get this from the Quran or did you get this from the Hadith? So that's the only answer that we go with. Then if some people will just give you their opinion and let them be the ones that say, well, this is my opinion. So if you know that throughout the show, if it's something that comes up, I can quote the Quran, I quote the Quran. If I can quote a Sunnah, if I quote a Hadith, I'll quote a Hadith. But when it's my opinion, I'll let you know that it's the opinion or this is something that I heard. But be careful when you ask the questions. Make sure you ask the brother, is this from the Quran or is this from the Sunnah? And can I write it down so I can go back and check it myself? It's not disrespect. That's the only way the proper information can be passed along. So I have 10 characteristics that if you have these, great. If you don't, let's work hard, implement them in our life. Even if we have them, let's work to make them better. Let's work to make them stronger than what they are. So let's start off with number one. It's fear of Allah. It's taqwa. So for each one, I'll give you at least one Quranic verse. I'll give you one example from a hadith, and I'll give you an explanation. So the first one is the fear of Allah, taqwa. And in the Quran, it says, this is the book, and it is guidance, sure, without doubt, to those who fear Allah. This is out of Surah 2. It says, this is the book, and it is guidance, sure, without doubt, to those who fear Allah. Then the hadith says, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, fear Allah wherever you are. Follow up a bad deed with a good deed, and it will blot it out. And deal with people in a good manner. This is from Timothy. And the explanation is, taqwa essentially is to protect oneself from the punishment of Allah by obeying his orders and by abstaining from what he has prohibited. He who fears Allah and acts accordingly to his instruction will be secure from his punishment. So taqwa is to fear Allah. And people say, it's been said, you know, that Allah is a punishing God. It says, fear Allah. You fear his punishment. You fear what the ramifications. So less of the years, like, that you do the speed limit, why? Because you don't want a ticket. So you follow with the laws of Allah because you don't want the ticket. The ticket is the blemish on your heart that you carry around with you. The blemish on your heart, the ticket is the blemish on your heart. It's a sin. All right. Next, we have truthfulness. The verse is, O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and speak straight true words. This is Surah 33, ayat number 70. The hadith is, verily, truthfulness leads to righteousness, the righteousness leads to paradise. A man may speak the truth until it is recorded with Allah the truthful. Verily, falsehood leads to wickedness, and wickedness leads to the hellfire. A man may tell lies until he is recorded with Allah as a liar. So it says, a man can tell the truth, so he is recorded with Allah that he's a truthful person. Or a man can tell lies until he's recorded with Allah that he's a liar. And this is from Muslim. Being truthful is one of the necessities of human society. One of the virtues of human behavior and brings great benefit. Whilst lying is one of the major elements of corruption in the human society and the cause of destruction of social structure and ties. Lying is one of the most evil features of bad conduct and causes widespread harm. Hence, Islam commands truthfulness and forbids lying. This quote is from IslamQ&A.com. Next, we have sincerity. The every word for this is ikhlas. Quranic verse is, it's most hateful in the sight of Allah. You say things which you do not do. So it is most hateful in the sight of Allah to say things which you do not do. So to me that's a strong verse. To stop for a second, that you bring upon the hate of Allah by saying things that you're not gonna do. To be careful in what you do. The Muslims say we have this saying, like, inshallah, be the will of Allah. But a lot of times we hang our hat on that. By that meaning is, we'll say inshallah, but we have no intention to do it, but we have false intentions. So it tells you right here that if you say something, you say you're going to do something, and you have no intention to do it, then Allah hates that. Do you really want Allah to hate your actions? This is in Surah 61, Ayat 3. The Prophet said, the Quran, excuse me, the Hadith says, Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, I deem it sincerity. A-D-D-E-E-N. It's sincerity. We asked, for whom? He replied, for Allah, his book, his messenger, and for the leaders of the Muslims and their masses. Sincerity is a crucial element of repentance and salvation in Islam. Sincerity for Allah is associated with faithfulness in Islam. It is the one that is most sincere to Allah that gets his sins wiped out. Allah uses your sincerity to judge the state of an individual's heart. So right there, twice, it tells you that if you just say you're going to do something, you have no intention of doing it, then Allah hates that. Then this explanation goes on to tell you that your sincerity is how Allah judges an individual's heart. So we'll have a show next week about the heart. about the greatness of the heart. So your heart is what's judged. So you're not going to have sincerity. You really think it tells you right there, Allah is not going to forgive you. Or this is how Allah judges you. Excuse me. Humility. The next one is humility. The servant of the beneficent are those who walk on the earth with humility. This is verse 25, verse 63. Prophet Muhammad said, Allah has revealed, Prophet Muhammad teaching blessing me upon him, said, Allah has revealed to me that you must be humble towards one another. This is from Muslim. So we're going to say, the explanation, Islam highly commends humbleness and simplicity and reckoning. That is one of the traits of a true believer, the people of truth. Humility is a blessing from Allah. Islam highly commends humbleness and simplicity and reckons that is one of the traits of a true believer. So one of the true traits of a true believer is your humility, being humble. Next is patience. So, the verse is, Allah loves those who are patient. This is Surah 3, verse 145. The hadith is, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, says, the real patience is at the first stroke of calamity. The explanation is, believing in being patient is one of the pillars of faith. This entails absolute belief and absolute understanding that when something falls upon you, when the hardship falls upon you, is you have patience, you're able to step away from it and look at it, take its time, understand what's going on, and then go into it. A believer knows and understands whatever happens to him is the act of Allah, and no one can do anything to cause it not to happen or not to happen. You can't evade it. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah, and be with those who are true in words and deeds. This is that from Surah 9, verse 119. The hadith goes, the lying is wrong, except in three things. The lie of a man to his wife to make her content with him, a lie in war, for war is deception, and a lie in selling trouble between people. This is from Ahmed. So they're saying that three forms of lying are accepted. The lying between a man and his wife to make her content with him. That's not saying that you tell your wife that, oh, I have a six-figure job and I do this and I pay the bills and all that. That's like if you sit down and you're eating food and it doesn't taste good. It's too salty. Your wife has sensitive feelings, things of that nature. And you tell, oh, yes, the food is good. You know the food is not good, but you go ahead and eat it. That's a form of lie that it's talking about. That it talks about in war. War is all about deception. And the last one is the settle trouble between two people. And if you have two people arguing, it's not to say, come on, this astronomical lie and say, oh, well, it wasn't neither one of y'all who caused it. It was the man that lives behind us. No, it's not that. It's just a lie to keep them going, like, hey, you know, brother, we can work this out later, or something to that effect. The next one is, purity and cleanliness. This is Tahara. The verse goes, he indeed is successful who purifies himself in mind and body and remembers the name of his Lord, which is Allah, and then prays. This is in Surah 87, verses 114 to 115. The hadith goes, the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, which is Prophet Muhammad, said, purity is half of our faith. And the praise of Allah fills the scales. Glorification and praise fill up what is between the heaven and the earth. Prayer is light, charity is proof, and patience is illumination. The Quran is proof for you and against you. All people go go out early in the morning to sell themselves, either setting themselves free or destroying themselves. So that says that purity is half of your faith. And praise Allah, and praising Allah fills up the scale. Glorification and praise fills up what's between the heavens and the earth. Prayer is light, charity is proof, and patience is illumination. The Quran is proof for you or against you. So in the day of judgment, the Quran will come. It'll either be proof for you or against you. Similar to your body parts. Your body parts will be either a proof for you or against you. So read your Quran. Take a minute out of the day. Even if you can't read it in Arabic, which a lot of Muslims can't. Take a minute in this class out there. If you can't get into the classes, email me. I know a brother that that'll work with you on Skype, or who will work with you. If your sister here work with you on the phone, I'll get somebody to work with you, get another sister to work with you to teach you how to read the Quran. I think it's an excellent class that's easy. He can have you reading the Quran, not the whole Quran, but some portions of the Quran in one day. So take advantage of these situations. But reading the Quran is important. Even if you read the translation in English, take that time, read the Quran, learn what you need to learn. This is the book, this is what judges us, not judges, but this is what we live our life for. This is what we live our life according to. This is how we live our life, according to the Quran. And so, you know, we want to live our life to be like Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Aisha, his wife, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, with the walking Quran. So we want to at least read the book that we claim that we follow. I say this and I move on. I was at a mosque and the imam said one time, he said, you know, brothers and sisters, think about it. How many of y'all have never read the Quran from cover to cover? There you go. So, when speaking on purity and cleanliness, it's not just your clothes and what you wear and what you physically have. It includes your walk, the way you talk, your thoughts. It also is what you eat. Cleanliness is broken into two parts. So I go on, that tells you that purity is not just how you wash your hands or what have you, or when you make wudu or ghusl. Cleanliness is what you think, is how you walk, is how you talk, all that. Yeah, the two parts of cleanliness is in tahara, which can be achieved by upholding the five pillars of Islam, having a clean and pure thinking process, avoid sin, making a lot of dhikr, especially keep your heart clear, avoiding anger, hatred, relying on other than Allah, and fearing the loss of provision. You have empathy towards death, having empathy towards death, pride, and arrogance also will lead you not to have inner tahara. Outer tahara is obtained by properly purifying your body, making wudu, taking baths, cleaning one's teeth with a miswak, using fragrances or perfume, keeping your house and your clothes clean, etc. This is from this quote. This whole quote was from Alquran.com. I recommend that site to anybody. Next is number eight is respect. The verse goes on to say, "O you who have attained faith, do not say to the prophet, listen to us, but rather say, have patience with us. And hearken unto him, since grievous suffering awaits those who deny their truth." It goes on to say, that's when people, this is verses from someone speaking to the prophet ill. The thing, speak to the prophet with respect. So that's a verse on respect. This is verse 2, this is from chapter 2, verse 104. Anas ibn Malik reported that one day he was serving the prophet in the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, when he thought he had finished serving him. I said, the prophet has taken a midday nap. So I left him there, and there were some children playing. I stood looking at them play their game. The prophet came out, and he came to them, and he greeted them with peace. Then he called me and sent me to get something he needed. He remained in the shade until I came back. I was late for my mother, and she said, "I'm laid down." She said, and she asked, "What kept you?" I replied, "The prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, sent me for something he needed." She asked, "What was it?" I replied, "It was a secret for the prophet." She said, keep the secret of the messenger of Allah. I did not tell anyone the secret. And if I were to tell it, I would have told it to my mom. This is from Bakar. So it goes on to tell you that the Prophet Muhammad came to him. He told him to go do something. And so he did it. And he didn't tell his mother. He didn't tell anyone. So that goes on to tell you that somebody tells you something, that's just part of respect. Someone tells you something or someone asks you to do something for them. Out of respect, you keep that between you and that person. There's a saying in Islam to respect your elders. There's a saying in Islam that you must respect your elders and respect the ones that are younger than you, which encompasses all Muslims, because there's always somebody older than you and there's always someone younger than you. This encompasses all Muslims. So this should be the job of all Muslims and is Islam to respect all human beings. You may disagree with someone, but you can still respect them. Number 9 is reliance of Allah. Reliance on Allah. This is Tahaqul. The verse goes, put your trust in Allah. Allah loves those who trust him in him. Put your trust in Allah. Allah loves those who put trust in him. This is chapter 3, verse 159. So we read a verse earlier to tell you what Allah hates. Now this is telling you what Allah loves. Putting your trust in him. The hadith goes on to say, if you had to rely on Allah, then you should. If you should have relied on him, then he would have provided for you as he provided for the bird, who wakes up hungry in the morning and returns with a full stomach at dusk. So it goes to say that if we all relied on Allah, we should, then he would provide for us as he provided for the birds. Birds leave the nest hungry in the morning and come back at dusk with full stomachs. This is out of Timothy. So, like I was saying one other time, the birds don't have refrigerators, or the birds don't have storage units in their home. So the birds go, they eat, they come back. The birds leave empty, they come back full. So they have no refrigerator, no microwave, no storage units to keep their food. Okay, and I wrap it up, we don't have that much longer. The Hawkeye is just believing in Allah with your whole heart. Then Tawheed is believing the oneness of Allah. It's that Allah says that in the Quran that Allah is one, there is no God but He. He's most gracious, most merciful. Also another verse he said, Allah said there is no God, He's the living, the sustainer. Allah, the Prophet Muhammad says that believe in Allah, worship Allah by himself. I have to rush through this because we're about to hang up. What I have to say to this Tawheed is that this is the first concept of Islam. And if you don't follow this, if you don't have this in your heart, you can't be a Muslim. Follow Allah, believe in Allah, there's only one God. Apologize, I had to rush through that last little bit. Inshallah, we'll have another show next week, and we'll be able to do some more good stuff. Anything that I said is that was a mistake is from me. Anything wrong is from anything I said that was wrong is from me and Shaitan. Anything good that I said, alhamdulillah. Please remember to follow us, and inshallah, we'll do this again next week. Assalamu alaikum.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.